minister of the gospel, to be able to minister to before you. And I want to thank our pastor and first lady for entrusting me this opportunity this morning to minister to you. Before we go into our message this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have ever someone came to you and said, if I offended you, raise your hands. Have you said it to someone, if I offended you? I don't see a lot of hands. There should be a lot of hands up. The other one I want to ask you, I'm not going back to that church because they hurt me. If that ever happened to you, lift your hands. I'm not going to talk to them church people over there. Raise your hands. None of y'all never been through that experience? I'm not talking to him or her until they talk to me first. Come on now, let's be real. So this morning, God has entrusted me to give you a word, and the title, if I had a title, Forgiving All. Forgiving All. I strongly believe as we continue to grow in Cathedral of Higher Praise 155, one of the subtle thing that the enemy will use against us, because we are coming into a greater season of unity and oneness, and the enemy's job is not to sidetrack you with your own personal issue, but with the issues of you, between you and your brother or your sister. Because the enemy only needs a little pinhole to come in. And one of the ways that he comes in is through the spirit of offense. And many of us are often offended by simplistic things that didn't even happen. It's your imagination. Sometime your brother or sister, you say they looked at you funny, so you upset at them. And they didn't even look, they wasn't even looking. They may have been in the spirit still. Or maybe just rejoice. And you're saying, you know, Sister House looked at me funny today. I'm not talking to her no more. That's the enemy. The enemy's job is to break the spirit of unity among the brethren. He comes to rob, steal, and to destroy. If his assignment is to pull anything of unity down. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter, it will be on our monitors. If you don't have it, let us please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Pastor already prayed, so I'm not going to pray again. I'm trying to get you in and out. And we're going to read the 12th verse, and then we're going to skip to the 14th verse through 15. When you reach it, please say amen, or you should be standing. First, let's start with the 12th verse. It's a particular known part of how Jesus was teaching his disciple how to pray. And the scripture says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 14 and 15, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's our key scripture this morning, verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Please be seated if you can. Forgiveness. The word forgiveness means not willing to excuse or to resolve, having a little tolerance for others. That's unforgiveness. Forgiveness is to pardon, to look over. Forgiveness is typically defined as the process of concluding resentment, indignation, after the result, different debt, something owed, an obligation. In verses 12, it says, forgive us our debt, which meaning we owe someone something due to our unforgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of God, grace to forgive and to forget, and not holding people of faith accountable for sins they have confessed. It's the human act of not holding anger or resentment or offense against a person. Forgiveness can be seen in two dimensions, one in the divine and the other the human. In terms of human dimension, forgiveness is the act and attitude towards whom have wronged us to restore the relationship and fellowship by forgiving them. Unforgiveness is rooted in two areas: those who have been treated unjustly, one; two, those who believe that they have been treated unjustly. Jesus told us that if we are going to follow him, we are going to have to die daily and pick up our cross and follow him, which implicate there are going to be people that's not going to like you. There's people that are not going to celebrate you. People are not going to always agree with what the pastor say. People are not going to always like what goes on in the ministry. But one thing that you must understand, if you stay in the plan and the purpose of God, God will work it out. Because who are we to continue to judge each other and condemn each other when we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The only person that I know who ever walked the earth that is perfect, it is Jesus Christ, who died and bled for all mankind's sin. Who are we to put you in a prison of unforgiveness and bitterness and anger? Who are we to continue to condemn you when God has already forgiven you? So we got to understand that letting go of things at times is necessary for us to move on in the kingdom of God. Forgiveness is a vital key towards you surviving in the kingdom of God. Because if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. The way how you release someone is the way God going to release you. One way that the enemy keeps a person in unforgiveness state is to keep their offense hidden and covered up with the spirit of pride. Pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Pride will tell you it's not you that is wrong, it's them that's wrong. And sometimes it is them that's wrong, but sometimes you gotta humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of God and let God use you, because sometimes God is trying to deliver the person. But if you don't commit to God and go with what God said, how will you change that person's life? Sometimes God brings forth the spirit of offense so he can get your attention, to get you to remember that you're not all that and a bag of chips. You have not really arrived. You are not there yet. I'm still molding you, and I'm still making you. I'm still putting you on the potter's wheel. There's some chips of clay that I need to take off of you because you have not arrived yet. The spirit of pride keeps us in the spirit of denial. Offense will come, but you must recognize it, repent, and forgive. People of God, you must understand that unforgiveness is a bitter seed. If you plant it and water it, it will grow into a monster that causes a person to do not trust anymore, to become bitter, and to develop a wicked spirit. You ever wonder why people have been a part of a church and they've been there years, never moved, never growed, never excelled, never took part in anything, never do anything? Some of them have a spirit of wickedness. Because if you continue to come to church every Sunday after Sunday and you tell me that the word of God does not penetrate your heart, you are a liar from the pits of hell. You can't tell me God don't change, because if he changed me, he'll change you if you're willing to open up and let him come in. But you got to remember, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force you to do what you don't want to do. You've got to submit and to commit. And one of the biggest part about believers and people don't want to commit, because commitment means you've got to go through the process and let God deal with you. The process is God will put you on the potter's wheel and begin to take out the things out of the world. There's a song that the old saints used to say, there's something in the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. God will begin to change you internally. You could dress up all you want, but if your inside is nasty and dirty, God can't use you. And so God begins to, you must understand that as you plant this particular seed, it grows and it manifests. And one of the real reasons why some of us are still stricken in our body is because we have not really forgiven people. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 31 and 32, get rid of all bitterness and rage, anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Just as Christ forgave you. How many times God has forgiven you? How many times God has put whatever you have done in the sea of forgetfulness? How many times God has excused your wrong? Even when you are unfaithful, he is still faithful. Even when you are disobedient, he is remaining who he is. He is faithful and obedient to you. If he promised something to you, will he not still make it work? Many people are dealing with the fact, I don't excuse the fact that some people should be offended and should be hurt. But I tell you this, if God can forgive you, why should you not forgive them? Many people are dealing with the fact that they have been molested, raped, abused physically, mentally, emotionally, abandoned, lied on, cheated, disrespected, talked about, ridiculed, and many other things, which leaves us in the spirit of offense and unforgiveness in our hearts towards a person or persons. Many individuals are upset at their family and parents and friends and fellow believers and other for the things that they have done or said to them. Many of us are walking around inside of the place of wilderness, and we can't wonder why we are still in the wilderness. We can't go into our promised land. You can't go into your promised land with hate. You can't go into your promised land with bitterness. You can't go into your promised land with unforgiveness. You can't go into your promised land with unforgiveness. You can't go into your promised land until you let go and let God. You can't go into your promised land until you really believe the word of God. Amen. Now we're going to do something. I'm going to demonstrate something. Brother, I want half of the papers passed out to half of the people on this side. Where the pin was. Do you mess it up? Yep. You want to just pass it around. I'm going to say some words. And when you look at the words that you have, and that word is the word that I want you, when you have it, please stand up. Honey, can you get me that as well, please? We're going to demonstrate something here. The first one, I gotta wait because I don't know what papers did he give out. That's why I put the pen there. I said, wait for my instruction. You took the pen. The paper clip. Who has the first one? This is where, and Janara has the first one, unforgiveness, also on the monitor. If you have that paper, please stand up. Unforgiveness. Who have unforgiveness? The seed of not forgiven begins with unforgiveness. If you are offended, oftentimes you begin to get the next thing that happens to you. You become angry. Who has angry? Stand up, brother. You become angry. You're angry at everybody. You're angry at every situation. You're angry at everything that happened. No, I'm not saying whoever have that paper. The paper. I'm not saying if you have it now. We're going to deal with that later. We're going to deal with that part later. But I want you to see what happens when you have unforgiveness. And turn it around. Sister Thigpen, please turn it around for me, please. And turn around, brother. Turn around that way. Unforgiveness. angry. You become so angry at everybody. When you talk to people, we can hear it in your voice. The next thing is resentment. Who has resentment? You get become so resentful. You are hating everybody. You are so resentful, then you become hateful. Who has hateful or hate? Just keep standing, brother. I want you to keep standing. There's a reason why I gave you the paper. I want you to keep standing. I want everybody to see. You become hateful. You start hating everybody. You don't want to talk to nobody. You don't like nobody's children. You don't even like your own children. You become hateful. They don't want to go to Nana's house because Nana's hateful and nasty. The next thing that happened, disgust. You are disgusted by the people who have disgust. You are disgusted by the people who have offended you or who you thought who you were offended by, because sometimes it's in our imagination. It's in our imagination. Let's be real. Let me give you an imagination thing. Pastor leaves the pulpit. He has to go in the back quickly. He passes one of the sisters and really doesn't mean to do this, but didn't say hi. She's mad at Pastor because she thinks that Pastor don't like her no more. No, Pastor was trying to get to the office because he may have something to get there, or he was busy. Same thing with somebody else. You see us in the grocery store. Come on now, let me bring the grocery store route out, because I've been guilty of that. I know you know certain people. You see them in the grocery store. They like to talk, you go to the other aisle. I do it, I'm being real. I'm here to get some groceries. I'm not here to hear a sermonette and go. I'm trying. Let's be real. We all have been up. Come on now. The next thing is bitterness. Who has bitterness? You become bitter. Instead of getting better, you become bitter. You become so angry and hateful and nasty. The next one is a nasty attitude. Who has a nasty attitude? Stand up. We're not saying you have it, sister. We know you don't have that spirit. You get a nasty attitude. We ask you a question. I'm doing good. I'm okay today. And then the neck is going off and everything. We're like, oh, do we need to perform an exorcist? Come on now. You know, you go up to them, I love, don't hug me. Don't hug you. What's wrong? What did I do? And you feel like, you know, we trying to hug and love one another, and that's the enemy. The enemy's job is to get you in a place where you are offended by all your brother, that you can use this off scripture to talk about, I'm going to have televangelists to church. I could watch TV and go to heaven. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The Bible said, don't forget the assembling of your brethren. That is a deception of Satan. You need a pastor. You need somebody to tell you when you're wrong. You need somebody when you go through difficult time. You need somebody to touch and agree. T.D. Jakes ain't touch and agree with you. Ain't coming to your funeral. He ain't stopping by the hospital room. He already told his members, y'all are 25,000 strong. And listen to me, I am not coming to visit all of you. That's why I have them. And he don't even do every wedding at his church either. He lets you know, I don't even do every counseling either. He only deals with the leaders. He counsels them, and the leader counsels the members. So don't tell me that you're going to be staying at home talking about, I'm not going back there. The TV people, I'm going to touch the TV and get the anointing. That's a lie. That don't work. Stop sending your money to them. Come to church. Be on time. Get your job at work here. If you were busy doing the kingdom's work, you weren't so busy being caught up in offense. If you do what God tell you to do, you wouldn't be so busy being nosy. And nosy people stay broke. I'm not worried about what you're doing. I'm worried about what I got to do, because at the end of the day, I don't know when my soul is required. When your soul is required, what will you tell God? Will you tell him, oh, they offended me? God is going to say, depart from me. Because listen to me, you come in here and pretend all you want every Sunday morning, but don't pretend in front of me. Don't pretend in front of pastor. Because I don't have a crown to give you. I don't have the authority to say enter in or depart. I have to make it in myself. Strife. The next thing is strife. Who got strife? That's another thing that the enemy used you to. So now you start spreading. You get strife. You start talking about your leaders. Then you start talking about other members. You know, so-and-so and so-and-so. And then da-da-da-da-da. And you start, and then stuff don't even go like that. You start breaking up the brotherhood because you are offended, because you think that everybody was talking about you last Sunday. And you are not that important. Let's be real. Let's be real. We love you, but Pastor's not preaching about you. It's the Holy Ghost touching you. And if you've ever been to a service and the Holy Ghost don't speak to you or tell you to repent or get yourself right, you are in the wrong church. If you are comfortable every Sunday, you got to watch that. God ain't there. Because many days I got to go home and repent. I got to say, Pastor, preach on me today. He whipped me good. The Holy Ghost was in that place. But if every Sunday, oh, we just jumping, we just floating on the air and nothing happened, you never change, what happens? You become doormat. You become so stagnated that you don't move. You don't even know that you're not moving. Jealousy. Now you become jealous. You become jealous. Brother Andre gets a new car and you mad because God ain't blessing you. You know, you get upset. Because God is moving in the midst. But because of where you are in your spirit of unforgiveness, God cannot bless you because he doesn't bless mess. He wants to release it, but you've got to release others. Discord. Now you spread in the spirit of discord. You're trying to cause havoc in the church. Talking about there's cliques. There's no cliques. What they are believers that are working in the kingdom of God. We're laborers. Every one of us. Every one of us are ministers. And we got an assignment and you got to get the assignment accomplished. Not trusting. And now who has not trusting? Now this is where you stop trusting God. And now you have already lost your salvation. Because why? You have to have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a reward of them that diligently seeks him. If you have not faith, how can you get into the kingdom of God? Because your relationship starts with faith and it will end with faith. That's why each of us get a measure of faith. So you need to trust God in your leader. You need to trust God in the ministers that are ministering with you, that are praying with you. You need to trust your brothers and sisters when we connect together. If you call me for prayer and we touch and agree, you got to be able to trust me to know that I got your best interests in mind. But the enemy's job is to cloud your mind to tell you that I'm against you. I ain't against you getting a house. I ain't against you getting a promotion. I want you to get a promotion so you can pay more tithe. I ain't no fool. Come on now. I want you to excel so you can take better care of your family. So you can put more money in the bank account for your children to go to college. I am not upset with you excelling. I want you to excel. Because when you go up, I'm next in line for a miracle. That's how I look at it. I'm next in line for a blessing. Because if I celebrate you, you will celebrate me when it's my turn. Because you're just a blessing away from your blessing. Think about it that way. You are just a blessing away from your blessing. The last thing that you give up, a wicked spirit. You begin to walk in the spirit of disobedience. You're so disobedient, you stop listening to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is like a navigation system that keeps speaking to you and saying, rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. And after a while, it shuts off. And then it shuts off. And then you wonder why you can't get in touch with God. Your prayers are held up. You have a closed heaven over your head. You're not hearing from God. You used to be an intercessor, and now you can't even hear a word from God. And it's not the season where you're in that God is not talking to you. It's the season because you have closed up God's voice. Because you wouldn't listen before the first 12 words. He was speaking to you all the way down. You would not listen to him. But because you feel in your own feeling, you forget that you died when you were baptized in Christ. And you were resurrected as a child of the King. And so no longer that you are your own, you are brought with a price. And because you don't know that the enemy is using this seed and he's planting it and he's watering it and it's growing and now it becomes a monster. Now we can't talk to you. All of a sudden God done spoke to you. You are called to be a pastor. All of a sudden you are called to evangelize around the world. You don't only know a few scriptures. You just became a member here. Now you want to preach. The devil is a liar. Don't let the devil use you. You've got to know God and let God deal with you. So as we do, so now we see all of those things. Y'all can sit down so I can show y'all this. So all of that stuff is in here. It's in here. And what we're doing, we're walking around the church hurt. We're walking around the church broken. We're walking around the church not loving. We're walking around the church hateful. We're walking around the church nasty. We're walking around the church bitter. We're walking around the church unforgiving. And we're wondering why we're falling so much. We're wondering why we're falling so much. We're wondering why every time we get up, the enemy keeps fighting us. We don't recognize that the enemy has planted that seed that's in us. And we keep lugging around with all this luggage, with all this stuff, with all these things on our shoulder, with all this, and we're wondering why we're weighing down. We're wondering why we're tired. We're broken. We're hurt. We're desperate. We're going through so many issues, sickness in our bodies. We can't get healed. God can't answer our prayers. There's so much. We keep going down and down and down and down, and you don't even see that the enemy is breaking you down. The enemy is breaking you down. So we are all the way down. We're weighted down. The Bible says, do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that's what the enemy has done. You still think that you are already going into heaven, but you have already missed the mark. Because the little hole, the little dot, the enemy doesn't need big stuff. Y'all talking about he's in my car. He ain't in your car. He's in your relationship. He's in your friendship. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to feel hurt. He wants you to feel like everybody's against you. Ain't nobody against you. We love you. And the world hates you. And one of the scenes that he used to destroy the kingdom of God is to say that we don't have love. That's right. We have love. Yeah. But we ain't no fool. We're not going to take the offering plate and give it all to you so you can pay your rent. We don't see you next week. We got wisdom. God ain't made us no fool. You got to invest in here before we can invest in you. The word of God says we are to be the light. How can we be the light when we are walking around with stuff? One of the real relationships that are being broken up in the kingdom of God is our relationship between our brothers and sisters over petty stuff. You fighting over a title when you get to heaven, you ain't gonna have no title. See, let my title speak for me, because my work will show that I am a disciple. My work will show. You ain't never gotta call me minister. Just call me brother. Because at the end of the day, on my birth certificate, my mom would tell you, it does not say Minister Ricardo. It says Ricardo B. Anderson. That's what it say up there. My passport, when I travel, they don't say minister. You're going to go into the first class. They say, Ricardo, hello. That's who they say. We got to understand that these things are destroying us inside of the kingdom of God. These offense have caused many of us to turn to divorce, to crime, to drugs, to violence, to believing that doing these things, that it will stop the pain. Some of us are broken in the inside. so bad because somebody hurt us so bad that we can't forgive him. I can't forgive him. Because I can't let him go. I'm still going. Every time you see the person, it comes up in your face. Every time you hear their name, the enemy rehearsed the incident. Every time you look at them, you get angry instantaneously. Every time you go to bed at night, the enemy just keep playing it and playing it. And while you can't, that's why your sleep is not sweet and peaceful. You can't sleep. You're stressed out. You're frustrated. You keep getting bitter, angrier, and worse and worse. And you keep asking God, why? God, because you haven't forgiven. I've forgiven you of so much. Why won't you let go of that person? That thing that person then was little. Look at Jesus. Jesus, when he was on the cross, after they whipped him and beat him and stabbed him in the side, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He forgave out of all those same people. He 10,000 of them, fishes and loaves. He did miracles in front of them. He did everything that he did to them. And then what did he say? Crucify him a few days later. They will do the same thing to you. So arm yourself. That's why we talked about the full armor of God. We're not talking about it for fashion or glory. You got to put it on every day. When you go on your job, one of the quickest person to offend you is a person that got a demon in there. There's one person that's on my job, and I know there's a devil in her. She just rubs me the wrong way. And she know how to do it too. But that's why I got to keep the armor on. I got to keep praying. Because the enemy will send people, and as soon as something wrong, they want you to pray for them because they know you're safe. They know you prayed up because they know. And I don't know how the enemy tell them you on a fast. That's the day they want to just push. Oh, my God. So we got to understand. You got to be steadfast in these things of God. And understand that even on your job, God wants you not to be offended. God wants you to show forth his light so that lives may be saved. You're not just on your job to make money. You're on your jobs to win souls. You're on your jobs to show forth his glory, to let people know that I am that I am is able. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you can even ask or think. You are God's agent. You are God's representative. You are God's ambassador. Satan keeps us in the past for forgiving while he's cheating us from getting into heaven for our reward as we continue to live this life in unforgiveness. Satan used the spirit of offense and unforgiveness to destroy kingdoms, to destroy friendship, families, marriages, and ministries. How can you say that you are God's disciple if you have not loved one for another? He said, how do you know that you are my disciple, that you love one another? You got to have love. Love is unconditional. It's not because you're asking something in return. Love is God. God is love. Unforgiveness is one of Satan's single most popular poison that he uses against God's people. We must forgive others of their trespasses. If you are offended or in an offensive state and refuse to repent, this sin, you have not come to the knowledge of the truth. Colossians 3:18, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have quarrel against, even as Christ forgave you, also ye do the same. Janari, the other scripture, Matthew the 18th chapter. You don't have to turn to it, but please write it down. Please. Matthew the 18th chapter. We're going to read the 15th through the 17th verse and the 22nd and 22 verse. Moreover, this is what happens. How do you reconcile forgiveness between a brother or a sister in Christ? We're going to bring this out because a lot of this is going on. And I'm telling you, I'm a witness. I had to go to a sister and apologize to her for something I did. And I was not too big as a minister to say I'm sorry. Because at the end of the day, I want to make it into the kingdom of God. The first scripture, let's read. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If it shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Ron, come. Brother Ron, I'm going to use it. Come on. This is what this scripture is saying. I'm going to run. Ron?
Yes.
If, no. See, this is the thing that we do, this if stuff. No, you know you offended the person. Stop that foolishness. That's the devil. If. No, I said some stuff, and I did some stuff against you. You don't need to know what it is. You don't have to tell them what it is. But you are confessing. That's the confession all by itself. This if stuff, that's not confessing. That's not confessing. That's you still playing the game. Let's be real. If you're going to be real, be real. If you ain't going to apologize, ask for real forgiveness, don't do it. Don't even approach the person. Because the if stuff, you know what the if does? The enemy takes the if and let them start get upset with the if. Because then they start like, if what? Let's be real. I know Ron. Ron would say, if what you said, how you said it. Let's be real. It's just how people do things. I have offended. I have said or did something against you. And I ask that you forgive me. All right, good. Stay right there. We're going to do this is the first set that if he says yes, we're all in it clear. Next scripture. Please. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, than in mouth of two or three witness every word may be established. Come on, Brother Savage. Come on, honey. This is what you do. This is the next he do. He didn't accept. Let's just say he didn't accept. So we're going to go again. These are going to be my witness. Pastor going to be a witness. I don't think I want Pastor to be a witness because we may go in the office. It may not be good. So, Brother Ron, yes. I said some stuff against you, and I brought my brothers and sister in. So, forgive me.
No.
All right. Two or three established. Now the next scripture. Now we got to go to. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. This is the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Y'all may be seated. Thank y'all. So that's what we got to do. We got to bring you in front of the whole church. Members only, not guests. Members only. Because we don't want guests to hear our business. Members only. So all members, pastor, you go to pastor, tell pastor, I brought these two witnesses. Brother Ron, I apologize that he didn't accept. And I need to bring it in front of the whole body. Because a little leaven leavened the whole what? And we don't want that to spread. See, that's the problem with the enemy. He spreads the seed right underneath us. We don't even see it. It's moving along, and you don't even think about it. So what we'll do, pastor will call a meeting. We'll do a meet in front of all the members, and then I'll go up again and ask Brother Ron. And if he says no, we are to treat him like a heathen and a publican. Be careful what that means. Doesn't mean that we ridicule, but what we do, he who are in, who have said that they are without sin, or take your brother's word to pray for him that he may change. That's what that means. That don't mean isolate Brother Ron. We don't talk to Brother Ron ever. You know, that's not what it means. Because God is what? Love. It's the spirit of our job. The Holy Spirit job is to try to get Ron to forgive and to let go. Because sometimes God's got to work on that person. And that's the problem with saints. God's got to work on. Because sometimes it's more difficult, especially if it was an argument or something and they knew what happened during that issue and the person don't want to let it go. One person is willing to let go, but the other person is not. It could be that instant. So we have that understanding. Is everybody clear with that?
Amen.
Because I don't want us to be confused. I want us to understand that this is what it's all about. It's about love. The whole purpose of forgiveness is love with grace. Love and grace. Amen. In the divine relationship, forgiveness is seen in the gracious and merciful act of God by which believers are put into right relationship with God. They are transferred from spiritual death to spiritual through the sacrifice of Jesus. A firm condition for receiving of God's forgiveness is the willingness to forgive others. God desires for us is to bring us back into right standing sonship relationship with him. So as we ask for forgiveness, we must forgive others. So we see that unforgiveness separates us from Christ. So we must be quick to repent and to forgive. So we will stay in right relationship, because you don't know for the second or the minute when your relationship is going to be required. You could go home today, and we had a great Sunday, and five people in the ministry could go home to glory. It could happen. I'm not saying it is. I'm not prophesying. I'm not doing none of that. But I'm just saying it can happen, because you don't know when your time is required. I don't know. I could put the mic down and sit right there and fall right on in the glory. So be careful how long you hold offense or unforgiveness. And even this, some of us are upset with God. Let's clarify that. Let me tell you something. You can't beat God. There's things that happen into our lives that God permits for us. What we should be doing is asking God, why did this situation happen? And sometimes you will not get a full, clear answer. Always be prepared, because God don't have to answer to you. Let's remember that. He is God. He is supreme. He is powerful, all excellent, almighty, all knowing. He knows even before you even ask the question, should I give you an answer? So that's the thing, though. And then be careful of what you're asking, because you may not want the answer. Because some of us think we want the answer, but sometimes we really don't. All right? Also, unforgiveness caused God to do not answer our prayer. Why? The reason why some of our prayers are not being answered? Because of unforgiveness. That's one of the requirements. Because if you don't forgive, in the prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, he talked about, if you don't forgive, he said, not if I don't, if you don't, then. So we got to forgive others so our prayers can be answered. If we want to stay in fellowship with God, if we are truly overcome and offend, we eagerly seek to make peace. The way we forgive and release and restore other persons, it's the way we will be forgiven. When offense occurs, a debt is owed. Forgiveness is like the cancellation of debt. Unforgiving, when you look at the 18th chapter of Matthew also, verses 34 and 33, talks about the servant who was forgiven and did not forgive his other servant of the sin that he committed and the money that he owed. And he was tormented. And the reason why unforgiveness, when you can't sleep, that's the spirit of torment tormenting you, because you need to forgive and to let it go. Forgiveness. Let us stand, because I'm coming to a close. Forgiveness is a choice the forgiver makes to let go of resentment. Held in forgiver's mind of perceived wrong difference, either actually or imaginary. I'm not saying that the thing that happened, we're excusing the person's wrong. But because we are child of God, we have to forgive. Because we are disciples of Christ, just like Christ forgave us, we have to forgive as well. I'm not excusing what happened. I'm not saying that sometimes you've got to be the bigger person as a child of God. You've got to make the effort to go and say, I'm releasing you. And the other thing, some things happen where you may not see the person again or may not be around. You can still release the person by praying to God and letting it go. But if, Ron, I'm talking to you, if, in fact, you keep seeing the person in your mind and it keeps torturing you, you ain't forgive yet. You have not let go. And this thing that we say in church, I will not forget, I want to forget, because I don't want the enemy to bring it up. I want it gone from my memory. Just like God wipes my slate, he said, I put it in the sea of forgetfulness. So I want my fears in the sea of forgetfulness of Ricardo. Put it there. Because what the enemy will do, you put it in the back of your mind, and it will come to the front of your mind, and then next thing you know, all over again. See, we got to be careful what we say. Let it go. We got to forgive.